How many of you really believe that the Lord is awesome? We serve an awesome God. And He is worthy to be praised. We bless the Lord for this choir, for leading us in songs of Zion. And we give God glory, praise, and honor. Realize that if it had not been for the Lord on our side, where would we be? The songwriter tells us that. We believe that. And we come celebrating the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on this Lord's Day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Another Sunday. Another gift from the Lord. Second Sunday in the month of October. He kept you all this way into this year. And so we bless the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you stand to your feet and turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. We believe that there is a text that we believe speaks to the hearts and the spirits and the minds of those who are here today. Psalm 139. Say amen. We've located the text.
Amen.
To God be the glory. Psalm 139. Starting in verse number 1, I want to read a few of these verses and then share what the Lord has given me to share with you. The Bible reads in Psalm 139, verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Verse 13 says, For you formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Herein is the reading of God's divine and eternal word, may edify and may sanctify the people of God. I would that you pray with me on the title of today's sermon. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at what the Lord has done. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that these words would not return void, but that they may accomplish that which you intended for them to accomplish. May hearts be encouraged, may minds be illuminated, may souls be convicted, I pray. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. And I simply pray now that you would continue to manifest your glory in this place. We shall be careful to give your name praise and honor, for you, Lord, are worthy to be praised. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray it, that all of God's children say together, amen,
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 and amen. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Ushers, you may be seated as well. I am riveted by the fact that Ferguson, Missouri has had another shooting. And I am torn by the reality of how we continue to speak life into a situation that is seemingly wrought with great pitfalls and great challenges. On the 24th of this month, we're going to have an event here at the church entitled The Seven Last Words of Strange Fruit. Many of you will recall the phrase strange fruit as the name given to a song that speaks about the hanging and lynching of black men, and that there's strange fruit that's hanging from trees, and that strange fruit are young black men who have been lynched. And it has been recorded throughout the annals of history that an innumerable number of black men were lynched post-Civil War, particularly into the late 1800s and into the Jim Crow era of the 20s and 30s and 40s. An innumerable number of black men. States have tried to calculate how many black men may have been lynched in Mississippi and Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia and Louisiana, but the numbers pale into what we really believe are the real numbers of those men who were lynched. And those are just the numbers of lynchings, let alone the numbers of murders and other forms of death that have taken place. And so this event that's happening on the 24th here at our church in the sanctuary is going to be a two-hour event in which we have seven speakers that are going to speak about the seven last words of black men who have recently been murdered at the hands of law enforcement. And that would include Trayvon Martin of George Zimmerman seemingly trying to act in the shoes of a law enforcement officer. And so our own Assemblywoman Bonnie Watson Coleman will be one of those seven speakers. Our own brother Darren Green, Freedom Green, who grew up at Shiloh, will be another one of those speakers. And we've got other men, Pastor Toby Sanders, other men and women who are going to be sharing a word almost in the same vein as what we do on Resurrection or Good Friday when we share the seven last sayings of Christ. And so these seven last words of strange fruit will be a requiem, if you would, about these black men whose lives have been taken from them. And it speaks to the ongoing reality of what we are dealing with in America, particularly with black males and law enforcement. The video that was shown, I forget now what town or what city it was in, where the young man was stopped with his wife or girlfriend and the two his two children in the back seat of the car, filming the encounter where the police officer eventually broke the window, tased the young man, and drug him out of the car. It continues to be a interesting reality of where we are in America's race relations as it relates to black men and law enforcement. This recent killing in Missouri, in Ferguson, after the young man, Michael Brown, had already been murdered, we have yet now another police shooting. And I talked with a couple of pastor friends of mine who are in Missouri, in St. Louis environs, and they shared with me that this last shooting took place just a couple of blocks from their home. And so they've been doing all that they can to continue to keep the peace of what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, as well as other places around the country. So when I think about Ferguson, when I think about the Ray Rice situation, I spoke last week about this issue of domestic violence. That's all right, Deacon Thomas. When I spoke about this issue with domestic violence, I want to make a correction. I made a statement that was stated regarding the issue of domestic violence being the highest rate of death among black women, and I want to stand corrected because I continue to look and research those numbers, and I had an email from someone in our congregation said, I want to continue to explore this with you. And the statement is that domestic violence among black women is certainly one of the leading causes of death, but certainly not greater than cancer and a few other causes. And so I want to stand corrected on that. And yet my continued push to draw attention to this issue of domestic violence in our community is for me part of a larger conversation about how do we continue to instill within our young men and our young women the values and the sense of being and a sense of self that they need to continue to live the lives that God has ordained for them to live. And as I think about that, my spirit was led to Psalm 139, because in Psalm 139, the psalm writer gives us a statement that I want to go straight to in verse number 13 and 14. It says in verse 13, "For you formed my inward parts and covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." There is a statement that I want to inculcate and plant on the lips of every young man and every young girl, not just black children, but all of God's children, but particularly black children, because I'm reminded of the statistics of how black men are leading in these indices and the statistics that say how black women are leading in these indices. And the question is to us as a community, how do we continue to instill within our young men and our young women a sense of biblical understanding about their own realities so that they can survive the attacks that are coming against them from the enemy? How many of you believe like I am that black men and black women are under attack in a way that is palpable and is noticeable? And if we don't do something, I worry and I fear that so many of our young black men and young black women will not see the adult years of their lives and live out the purpose that God has ordained for them to live out. And I believe that we need to continue to instill the biblical mantras about how they need to view themselves to overcome the enemy that is coming against them. Do I have a witness here today? Does anybody share with me the concern that is going on amongst our children, those in our teenage years, getting out of high school? You can go talk to some of these young boys and young girls out here right around our church. And the question may become, what is one of your greatest fears? And one of the greatest fears is that I may not live to get out of my 20s, or I may not live to get out of my 30s. That there is a reality of death that is frightening for some of these young black men and young black women, that they fear death more than they value the opportunities that life has to offer them. And so as I think about statements that I want my children, my own children, Daniel and Amaris, and any of your children to understand, I think about Philippians 4:13, that the Bible says we can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I want our children to believe that I can overcome this. I can do this. I can make this. I can do all things, no matter what the enemy tells me. I want them to think about texts like 1 John 4:4 that says, "Greater is he that is within me than he that is within the world." Come on, somebody. Children need to speak that over themselves. We need to speak it over them, but they need to appropriate it in their lives, because I cannot pray for Daniel what I want him to be. I can pray over him, but Daniel needs to learn how to pray for himself. Amaris is going to have to learn, when mama and daddy is not there, I got to be able to say, "Greater is the God that my mama taught me about, my daddy told me about. Greater is the God that is inside of me than the enemy that's coming against me in the world." Romans 8:37, I need my children, I need your children to say, "I am more than conquerors. Yet in all of these things, I am more than a conqueror." Our children need to understand what the Bible has to say about their future, and that they would understand that God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of love and power and of a sound mind. I can conquer this. I can do this. I can overcome this. I can make this. I can be this. When people tell me I can't, God tells me I can. When people tell me I won't, God tells me I will. When I tell myself I don't know, God says, believe in yourself, because you, I put something in you. And not only do we need to teach our children this, but we need to teach our adults this. Because not only do our children lack confidence, but if their mamas and their daddies are not there to instill within them the understanding of who they are as a child of God. No wonder some of our children are not overcoming, because mamas and daddies are telling them that they are nothing, they are nobody, they won't amount to anything, they cannot accomplish anything. And so it must be a collective communal spirit based on God's word that tells us that the devil is a liar and that God is in control. So now think about the situation with Ray Rice and the domestic violence that was perpetrated against his now wife. I asked myself, What stories have she been telling herself? Again, don't want to beat up on her, but I believe she is emblematic of so many women, black and white, who would rather stay in abusive situations than be in a relationship in the kind and the like that God would have them to be in. Or too many men are believing messages where they're being beaten up on by the world, so therefore they feel that the only source of power and influence they can have is in their homes to master and to beat up on their wives and their girlfriends. And so what are the messages that we are speaking? I read an article that spoke about one of the causes of domestic violence in the African American community is linked to unemployment, that if men don't have jobs and they are beaten down and can't provide for their family, then in some ways they think that being a man is by exerting force upon the woman that is in their lives. So we can psychoanalyze it and go down deeper into all of these reasons of why. But I believe that I'm not going to spend more time on the negative stuff than I am on the positive stuff. Because I believe if I saturate the minds of my young people with the word of God, the Bible says if I meditate on it day and night, that I shall be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, that when the winds begin to blow and the waters begin to rise, that God says, I shall sustain you in the midst of all that you're going through. And so those and many other scriptures I can cite as ones I want children to be able to recall at will. But this is one in Psalm 139. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. I need the children of the Most High God to know that I am not a piece of junk. I'm not a piece of somebody. I'm not a piece of something. I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made in the image of God. And so God has done something great when he made me. Come on, someone. And I want to just break this psalm down into two parts. One, that God knows me, and two, that God keeps me. And if you look at verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, it gets into this sense of God knows me. It says in verse number 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and you know my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. Verse number 5 says, you have put a hedge around me, behind me and before me, and you have laid your hand upon me. God knows me. Listen, somebody, God knew you. He says in verse number 13, you formed me in my inward parts and you covered me in my mother's womb. When I think about this statement, I'm unabashedly a pro-life kind of person. I don't want to get into the politics of abortion and all of that, but I am unabashedly a pro-life because I believe that God's miracle of life happens when conception happens, at the time when God allows the reproductive fruit of a woman and the reproductive fruit of a man to come together and form life. At that very instance, life begins. I don't believe it happens miraculously in the third trimester. trimester or the second trimester or the first. I believe it happened when it comes together. Because the Bible says you knew me in my mama's womb. And it goes on to say you knew my substance. Listen, listen, listen. It says in the text, when you go down a little bit further in the text, it talks about in verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. Don't you know before you even showed up on the scene, God knew who you were? Before you even got to where you think you are, God knew where you were going to be. Didn't you know before you even came out of your mama's womb, God knew who you were going to be? I know that there are some circumstances that may be trying to think about. Issues of rape and incest and some of these other realities. And I can't fix my mind to give an appropriate answer because there is no appropriate answer. But all I can say that if I'm here, God must have wanted me to be here. If I'm breathing, God must have wanted me to be here. If I'm living, God must have wanted me to be here. If I can see, God wanted me to be here. If I can walk, if I can talk, God must have wanted me to be here. But even if I can't walk, even if I can't talk, if I am here, God wanted me to be here. Do I have a witness here today? We can get into all of the different machinations of what about this and what about that. But I've got folk who are feeling that I am less than because I've come from these circumstances. I talked to a sister. I went to a conference early this week. Talked to a sister. She said, I went all my life, 45 years. And just this year, I was told that I was adopted. And so now she's wrestling with the reality that she's one of five children that were given up for adoption by her mama. And the woman she thought was mama wasn't really her biological mama. And so she's having a bit of an identity issue, she said unto me. And I said, sister, let me just say something to you. I can't get into your mind. I can't get into your heart. But all I can tell you is that God loves you. And you're here for a reason. And I don't know why you're here, but God had his hand on you. God brought you this far by faith. And I need you not to doubt yourself. I need you to believe that you've got a purpose, that you're here for a reason. And many of us, some of us sitting right here in this audience, I speak to children all over America, adopted children, foster children, who are wondering, why did this happen to me? Why did not this happen to me? Why did they do this to me? Where was my mama who was supposed to protect me? Where was my daddy and why did he allow this to happen to me? And I need someone to understand that Psalm 139 goes way back before you were even born, way into your mama's womb, way before you even got together, your mama and your daddy, because all of us have a mother and a father. Even before they came together, you knew my substance, God. Come on, somebody. God knows you. And because God knows you, he has a plan for you. And you're not here by accident. Don't you know the God I serve doesn't make accidents? The God I serve is not a God of coincidence. The God I serve is a God of intentionality, of deliberateness. God knows what God is doing. And so when he made you, he broke the mold. There is nobody else like you. You need to tell somebody. You can say what you want. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me. Come on, somebody. When people talk about you, I want to tell my children, I want you to take a step back and just twirl around and say, look at what the Lord has done. I know you may not like it. I know you don't want to see it, but look at what the Lord has done. I know you don't want to hear me. I know you don't want to be with me, but look at what the Lord has done. Don't you know God did something great when he made you? When he made you? When he made you? When he made me? And I believe that part of the crux of so much that's going on in our children is their own sense of identity and who they think or don't think they are. or who they know or don't know who they are. So not only does God know me, it says in Psalm 139, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, various verses in Psalm 139. But I'm going to end with this. God keeps me. And in a world where so much is coming against our children, I need adults to help children model this understanding that God will keep me no matter what the circumstances look like. David says in the psalm in verse number 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heavens, you're already there. If I go down into the lowest parts of the world, you are already there. He says, if I dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there you shall be. I need someone to understand, not only does God know me, but no matter where I am, God will keep me. And I need, that's good news to somebody. Because although I made it sound nice, let me just tell you what the Bible says. It says, if I should descend into hell, you can be right there with me, God. And I need somebody that's going through some stuff right now. I know you're down in the valley, but don't you know God can step down in there, down in the deepest part of your situation, deep down in your hurt, deep down in your pain, deep down in your anger. God can step in there, and not only will he step in there, but he will keep you when you don't know how to keep yourself. Do I have a witness here today? Has anybody ever been kept by God in the midst of a situation? The Bible says, if I go to the highest mountain, you're already there. If I go down to the lowest valley, you're already there. If I go right, I'll catch you coming left. If I go left, I'll see you coming right. There's nowhere that you cannot go that God cannot find you. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? No matter what they say about you, no matter what they do to you, no matter how they mess you over, God will keep you. Has anybody ever been kept? Has anybody ever been kept by God? God will keep you. If I go up, you're there. If I go down, you're there. When I'm sick on my hospital bed, you're there. When everybody else has turned their back on me, you're there. When nobody comes to visit me, you're there. When nobody pats me on the back, you're there. When my mama has abandoned me, you're there. When I don't have a job, you're there. When I don't have a house, you're there. When I don't have any friends or family, you're there. You're there. David says you're there. Because David understands what it means to be kept by God. David says, I'm fearfully and I am wonderfully made. I'm fearfully and I am wonderfully made. If we can help our children understand the substance of what this means in their lives, I am somebody. Long before Jesse Jackson said it, David said it. I'm somebody because God made me. I'm somebody because God died for me. I am somebody because Jesus rose for me.
I am somebody because Jesus carried his cross for me. I am somebody because Jesus got a nail in his hand for me. I am somebody because Jesus was born for me. I am somebody because Jesus took a crown of thorns for me. I am somebody because they pierced him in his side and blood came running down. I am somebody because he stayed all night Friday night in a borrowed tomb, but early Sunday morning, my Jesus got up with power in heaven and earth. I am a child of God. And if we help our children and even our adults understand who they are, I believe it will go a long ways from not allowing them to allow others to treat them any old way. Nuh-uh, sister, I'm not putting up with that because I'm a child of God. No, brother, I'm not putting up with that. I'm a child of God. Do you know who I am? On your job, stop putting up with stuff where they try to rob you of your dignity. Because if you need another job, the Lord will provide for you. Don't let them rob you of your dignity. Because I am a child of God. Even in the church, stop letting folk talk to you any old way. Don't you know who I am? I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. I am somebody. I rebuke that because greater is the God in me than the devil that's out in the world. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. The Lord has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. I am more than a conqueror. I can get over this thing. But if you don't know that at the beginning of your very life, God formed you and knew you in your mama's inward parts. That's what the Bible says. And he knew your substance. He knew your substance. The text ends in verse number 23 and 24, and I'll go to my seat. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. See if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the path, in the way everlasting. There's some things that I believe I cannot change. And whether it's the surrender prayer, give me the power to accept those things I cannot change, and change the things I can change, and the wisdom to know the difference, whether it's that prayer or the simple reality, God, I'm relying on you to lead me in the way everlasting. I don't know why I'm where I am. And I don't know why I'm going through what I'm going through. But I do know, you knew me and you're keeping me. And the fact that I'm still here means you've got a purpose for me. And as long as I'm still here, I'm going to keep relying on you. Lead me. Guide me. Oh, Lord, I pray. For if you lead me, God, into the way everlasting. Stop trying to make other folk change and just start changing yourself. Come on, somebody. You cannot change the way other folk look at you. You cannot change the way they think about you. You cannot change what they say about you. But what you can do is change the message that you give yourself. I am a child of God. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My God shall handle this. My God shall lead me in the path that he wants me to go. And as long as as long as you stay on God's path, everything is going to be all right. All hell may be breaking out around you, but don't you know he can go up there and he can go down there and he'll be with you no matter what the circumstances. Stick with God and watch how God sticks with you. Let the church say amen today. Let's give God a praise offering in this place. Everyone standing to their feet. Everyone standing to their feet. We're grateful today for God's keeping power. Deacons and deaconess, clergy, help me extend the invitation to discipleship. And as we get ready to extend this invitation, it is my prayer that we all would internalize the messages of Psalm number 139. God will keep you, God knows you, and God will keep you. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead and sing choir. As the choir sings, the invitation is extended to someone here today. Don't know who you are, don't know where you've come from, but I do know that God is able to do everything but fail.
I love you.
If you're here today, forever. I want you to come and give us your hand.
Forever.
Give God your
with
heart.
All my heart.
In the name of Jesus. If you're here today, I want you to come and give us your hand and give God your heart.
I love you.
In the name
forever.
Of Jesus.
Forever.
Forever you're my king.
Forever you're my king.
See, my shelter.
My shelter.
Forever.
In times of storm.
Anyone else here? Anyone
my
here?
Shelter.
Anyone here?
My shelter.
Who forever. Wishes to make a decision for the Lord.
Forever.
Forever you're my
God
king.
God is calling you.
Forever you're my king.
God is calling someone today. In the name of Jesus.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
Forever.
You may be seated. God bless you.
Forever.
Shall follow me.
Shall follow me.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
Forever.
Forever
you're my king.
Forever you're my king.
One time, come on. Say all the glory.
All the glory.
And the honor.
And the honor.
Belongs to you.
Belongs to you.
All the glory.
And the honor.
And the honor.
Forever you're my king.
Forever you're my king.
Forever you're my king.
Head bowed, every eye closed. Just pray with me. Father, we thank you today for the gift that you've given each of us. You've brought all of us from where we were to where we are.
And all we can do is say, look at what God has done. You've done this thing. It is marvelous in your sight. We didn't do it. We couldn't have done it. You alone have done it, God. And I ask now that if there's someone here under the sound of my voice who, for whatever reason, finds themselves in a place of scarcity and of a deficit, feeling less than who they should be, feeling beat up, discarded, discouraged, today I pray that someone would understand the power of your song, the power of your word, that God, you form them in their mother's womb, fashion them to be who they are, and you've got a plan for their lives. And so, Father, if there's someone who is teetering on the edge of their seat, not yet having made a decision for you, I pray that they would be reminded that the rest of the day is not guaranteed and tomorrow is not promised. Draw them out from where they are and to where you want them to be. Those listening later on the radio or on the internet, God, even in their homes, in their cars, wherever they may find themselves, may this word not return void, but may they understand that you know their substance. You know who they are, and you know what you want them to be. Father, that can only happen if we humble ourselves and submit our lives to you. I pray if there's someone here, God, who needs to do that, that you would draw them from where they are into where you want them to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the saints of God, the redeemed of the Lord, say together, amen and amen. Listen, before we move, for the deacons and deaconesses and clergy move, if you know that this message was for you and you've not yet made that decision for Christ, I want to just give you one last opportunity to stand up and come on down and give one of the men or women standing your hand and give God your heart. Anyone here today? Anyone here today? Anyone here today in the chapel? God is speaking to you. And the main part to my right, the main part to my left. Anyone here today? In the name of Jesus. God bless you. You don't have to do it publicly. You can come talk to any one of us standing and talk to us after the service if you're so led to do so, all right? Let's put our hands together and give God a praise offering for his grace and his mercy.